Let's sing that song together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. All God's people said.
Amen. Just taking a moment to see every one of you. Because I want to tell you that I am glad you're here. And you know, if you haven't heard it today, I just want every one of you to know I love you. Welcome to church. It's great for us to be able to come together and to worship our God. And there's a lot of ways to worship and praise and fellowship together. And lots going on in our church here this week. And there's going to be even more in the bulletin as you take an opportunity to read that. But here's some highlights. So today, choir practice at 4:45. For those of you that recognize that as being a little bit early, there's a good reason for it. Because we're going to go eat some chili tonight. We're going to have a chili cook-off. And we've got a lot of people signed up, but we absolutely need some more fixings. And you can see Linda if you need a definition for Linda, right? Linda is. If you need no definition of what those are. But there's certainly an opportunity for more people to sign up if you want to have your chili entered into the cook-off. Tomorrow night we have American Heritage Girls at 6 o'clock and Trail Life at 6:30. NDI Council this Wednesday, and we're in the Sunday school board meeting in the Good News Classroom at 5, and then followed up by Wednesday night services, regular children, youth, adult journey group, and adult Bible study at 6 p.m. Okay, Momco, we got two sessions this week. We got the morning session at 9 a.m. on Thursday, and the evening session at 6 p.m. And this coming Saturday, opportunity, men, get together, come eat, fellowship, and let Wayne know if you plan to attend. Bread of Life, we're still taking donations for the November meal. And the Christmas store, we are collecting items right now. And make your monetary donations or toy donations birth to age 16. And then, and you'll notice there's a basket in the foyer for the upcoming birth of Jessica and Garrett's baby girl. And so please welcome that little baby into this world. Other events are forthcoming in the next few weeks. Please see your bulletin, which will be mailed out every Friday. And if you're not on the mailing list, please let us know so that we can make sure that we have a way to get information to you. And last week, Pastor Heather talked to us about a special project for a Christmas devotion. There's a little thing on the announcement table out front. You can sign up. Otherwise, she's going to hunt you down if we don't get some people. But anyways, hey, thank you for your faithfulness in giving. And certainly another opportunity to in our worship is to give back a portion of what God's blessed us with. And in the back, you see two boxes if you want to donate there. And hey, let's have a great morning of worship. Amen.
Revelation chapter 4 tells us that once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord all God, is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. Today we are going to sing "Holy, Holy, Holy." It is a time for us to worship the One who lives forever and ever and ever. Let's stand as we worship the Lord.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, holy, holy,
praise to the King of Kings.
wings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory, and power to you, holy wise King.
Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Filled with wonder.
Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
About 2 weeks ago, Steve came in on Wednesday night while we were practicing our songs, and he said, "You got to hear this." I normally would not introduce a new song on a Sunday morning right before prayer, but sometimes songs get a hold of your heart, and this one did. And so we're going to, it's very, very simple. It's not fast or anything like that. But I want you to read the words while you're singing it, okay? And then we're going to get down to what is actually the chorus, and Steve's going to sing that for us. And then we're going to come back and sing what are the first two verses as a congregation together. If you've heard this, please sing. It is wonderful. And it says so much in such a very simple way. But He has done great things. It's only about a year old, the song is. And wow. Let's sing together.
He has done great things. He has done great things. Arms open wide, the Lamb crucified, worthy is He. Worthy is He, as high.
Great is his everlasting love, rivers of mercy run over us as far as the east from the west. He has removed all our sin. We are forgiven by his blood.
He has done great things.
He has done great things. He has done great things. Arms open wide, the Lamb crucified, worthy is he. Great things. Our God has done great things. Thorns on his brow, grace flowing down. Worthy is he.
He has done great things. One more time.
He has done great things. He has done great things. Arms open wide, the Lamb crucified. Worthy is he. He has done great things. Our God has done great. On his brow, grace flowing down, worthy is he.
I'm going to read for you a very short psalm. Pay attention to who you are in this. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. So if you're part of all nations or all people, that means it's up to you to praise the Lord. Nobody's going to do it for you, so do it yourself. We got to do so through song. Let's do so now through listening to the word preached. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come to you and learn your ways. We thank you for the opportunity it is to live a life that honors and glorifies you. We know this is a great gift, and I just pray that each and every one of us would not take that gift for granted, but we would lean wholly on you, in your presence and in your power, and in your provision that you've made through your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we can praise you. It's in his name that we can extol you. It's in his name that we listen. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
I want to speak to you this morning from Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. And in just a few moments, we're going to look at verses 17 down through verse 23. Exodus chapter 18, beginning with verse 17. We're now, as I've already said, in the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus. As you come to the 18th chapter of the book of Exodus, the father-in-law of Moses, Jethro, he reappears in the narrative. The last time that we have seen him was in Exodus chapter 4, verse 18, when Moses goes and he asks Jethro's permission to go to Egypt to check on the Israelites. God had already called him there at the burning bush. Moses knew where he was going, but he went out of respect to his father-in-law because it was his father-in-law's sheep that he was tending. But here in Exodus chapter 18, we see Jethro as he's coming to bring Zipporah, which is Moses' wife, and also Moses' two sons, so that they can be back with Moses. Well, As you read on down, you're going to find that Moses goes out to meet his father-in-law, and they get together, they begin to go through, and Moses tells Jethro all the things that God has done. And according to verse 9, we read that Jethro is delighted to hear all the things that God has done for the Israelites. And afterward, they sacrifice to God. There's a time of worship there as they are there together. Well, when you come to verse 13, you find something interesting. You find that Moses has not only taken on the role of the leadership of the people of Israel, but he's also taken on the role of a judge for the people. And from morning until evening, Moses is settling disputes among all the people, and Jethro is standing off somewhere watching as all this is going on. And Jethro realizes this is not a good thing. Well, it's here that you have Jethro, the priest of Midian, offering his son-in-law some very wise advice. And we're going to pick up with verse 17, chapter 18, the book of Exodus. Moses, his father-in-law, replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and all these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them His decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring very difficult cases to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, this passage of Scripture, as you look at it, it actually amazes me. One of the reasons I think that it amazes me as it does is because I pastor a church of about 120 people. Moses was leading a nation of somewhere between 2 and 6 million, according to who you read. And I want you to understand that there are times that 120 can be overwhelming. I just thought I'd tell you that, you know. I mean, I can't imagine an entire nation. I mean, Moses is overwhelmed by the many responsibilities of leadership. And he did all of this, and he became so exhausted and overwhelmed in all that he was doing. And when you begin to look at it, Jethro sees what's going on, and this Jethro was not stupid. Some of you know what I'm talking about, Beverly Hillbillies. We won't go there. Well, Jethro observes Moses, and he gives him some advice. And basically, if you take everything that Jethro said and you narrow it all down, he tells Moses, "Your responsibility is being God's representative to this nation. Moses, you are supposed to be teaching the people of God those decrees, those instructions, and your life. Your life is to be a testimony of godly conduct." That's basically what he tells Moses. Now, I want you to understand that before I go any further into this, that we're not, you know, this is not an effort for me to get out of doing something. Okay? This is not an effort for me to get out of doing something, but I do believe that when you look at this passage of Scripture, you find an explanation of the kind of people who are to be in leadership. You also, and we're going to look at it a little later on in the passage, you also, when you look at this and then you go over to especially the book of Ephesians, you're going to find that God gives us the plan by which the church is to be run. Now, that's so important for us to realize. We can learn a whole lot of important lessons from this chapter about ministry. Now, The church, and if you don't know this, I'm about to open a door for you and let you in on something. Working for the church, working in the church, can be overwhelming.
And a whole lot of the time, when you begin to try to hand off responsibilities to other people, what people then will say, and I love this, and the next time I hear it, I'm going to talk ugly to the person, but you hear people say, well, that's not my gifting, Pastor. Can I tell you something? If God calls you to do something, He will equip you to do it. Okay? So we need to understand that. I mean, remember when we were back in the beginning chapters of Exodus and how Moses gave all the excuses in the world why he could not do something, and yet God still chose to use him and equipped him to do what he needed to do. And for a whole lot of people, and I wouldn't want to call Mary by name or William by name or Jack by name, but there's a whole lot of times that we try to do too much. She's over there waving a piece of paper. Sometimes we kind of have the idea that maybe we're the only ones that can do it. And I found out a long time ago that is not the case, but there are many times that we are the only ones that will do it. And when you follow that kind of pattern, and that's not just the pastoral staff, that is also laity in the congregation who are so involved in so many things. There's a thing called the Pareto principle that says 20% of the people will do 80% of the work. Since we're having chili tonight, let me go ahead and tell you, 20% of the people will eat 80% of the meals that are prepared. That wasn't even in the notes. And part of the remedy in all of this is to begin to train other people to take up the work of the ministry. In fact, that's what Paul says in the book of Ephesians, that God has given some to be apostles and pastors and teachers. He names off all these people to equip God's people for service. So all of this begins to work together, and when you begin to look at all this, you see how what Jethro had to say to Moses is so very, very important. So you find it in the Old Testament, you find it in the New Testament. We in the Church of the Nazarene have elections every year to elect a board to take care of the day-to-day running of the church. And our manual gives us qualifications for those people. And every year we hand out a nominating committee form to the members of our church so that they can submit whether or not they feel like they fit in those qualifications. So every year, we as a congregation, we elect 9 people to serve on our church board. We elect 3 stewards, 3 trustees, and then there are 3 ex officio officers, which they head up all those NDI, NYI, NMI. Nazarene Discipleship International, Nazarene Youth International, Nazarene Missions International. That's what all those letters stand for. It's like alphabet soup from time to time. But we do that every year. But I want you to understand that those 9 people cannot do all the work. Well, I figured I'd at least get 9 amens out of that. There has to be help from the congregation. Well, Jethro gives Moses some advice about what to do when the work is too heavy. And that's the exact wording that he uses. And today I want to share with you what we're to do when the work is too heavy. And what we need to do when the work gets too heavy. And the first thing that we have to do as pastors, as teachers, is we have to teach the people the Word of God. Look at verse 20. Teach them His decrees and instructions. The first thing that we have to remember is that we have to be focused on teaching the Word of God to people. That's why he says, teach them His decrees and instructions. Jethro told Moses that if he wants the load to be lighter, he had to start with the basic foundations of discipleship. Moses had to learn from God, and whatever he learned from God, he was supposed to pass those to the people. He had to teach the Israelites what God required of them. He had to teach them what God promised to them. He had to teach them that they could communicate with this God and that God had a plan for them. You see, we get everything that we need from the Word of God. This is not just something that we use on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. This ought to be something that you take in, just like you take in your daily food. The Word of God ought to be something that becomes a part of you. You ought to hunger and thirst after the Word of God. And Jethro is saying to them, warn them of the statutes, tell them of the laws, show them the way that they're to walk and the work that they have to do. Basically, and I want you to get this, basically, if we teach the Word of God to you, it is a means by which you can be safeguarded from the things of this world. It's so important. You just don't come in here so that you can hear a motivational speech. You come in here so that you can learn, so that you can know, so that you can go out of here and face the things that are in our world. And I'm telling you, the things in our world have become more and more insidious in the way that they come in and they try to worm their way into our hearts and into our lives. Jethro is telling Moses here, you are here to teach them the Word of God. And I realize this, that we can't really assign people responsibilities if they don't know the Word of God. You can't do it. I mean, because immature believers, you know, who are involved in ministry, they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to know how to do. They're not going to be able to instruct. They're not going to be able to do what they need to do. So it's the responsibility of those who are in leadership to pass along the Word of God, just like Moses was to pass along the statutes of God to the people of Israel. The Word of God is so important that twice in the New Testament, not once, but twice, so that means it must be important. Twice in the New Testament, we are told that we need to get off the milk of the Word and get into the meat of the Word. I found out a long time ago that immature believers sometimes can be noisy and messy and even self-centered. We have to begin to move along in our faith. We can't stay in just the simple things. It's interesting how Paul says how the Hebrew writer says to the Hebrews that you should be teachers by now because you've known all this stuff. It was clear as you go through and you begin to study about Israel even more and more that Israel never applied what they were taught. They didn't. That's the reason they failed every time they turned around. The word teach here that is used, it comes from the root word that means to illuminate. So the whole idea of what Jethro is saying to Moses is, Moses, you need to illuminate the truth to the people of God. You need to show them and instruct them in the Word of God. You see, that's the reason that we come together. Let me ask you a question. I don't want hands raised. Okay. If we had said, hey, we're going to do Exodus, how many of you would have immediately got your Bibles out and started going through it? Five of you. I'm kidding. No, maybe six. You begin to think about it. This is not one of those books that we pick up and read all the time. But I want to tell you, if nobody else has gotten anything out of our study of Exodus, I'm going to tell you I have gotten a whole lot out of it. And I hope this morning when you leave here, you still like me. Because I'm telling you the truth this morning. I am somewhat shining a light on maybe a passage that you would have never looked at before. And that's what we're responsible to do. You see, the first thing that Jethro tells Moses is that his responsibility is to teach the people God's Word. The second thing that Jethro says to Moses is that Moses is to show them how to live and how to behave. How to live and how to behave. Verse 20, one more time, teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. Jethro tells Moses here that he is to be a good example to the Israelites as he's leading them. He seems to be telling Moses here that our life has great power among those who are close to us. Miss Mary Alice Langton was one of her professors in college.
And I'll never forget, she told us this so many times, it has become ingrained in me, and I know in Susie too, because she told us over and over again, she said, your life may be the only Bible that some people ever read. So how is the gospel according to you? How is the gospel according to you if you are the only Bible that some people ever read? You see, the literal translation of this right here is to show them the way they act and the path that they are to take. Show them the way that they are to act and the path that they are to take. In 1986, Guy Dowd, and it's spelled different than Steve and Gracie's last name, but Guy Dowd was selected as the National Teacher of the Year. He became a sought-after speaker, and he wrote a book entitled Molder of Dreams. Some of you might have seen the video. I don't know. But I saw the video that he did, and it was a wonderful video. And I don't remember a whole lot about the video, but I remember the poem that he quoted at the end. It was a poem by Edgar Guest. And here are the first two stanzas of that poem. He said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye is a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see a good put in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you will let me see it done. I may watch your hand in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. You see, Jethro understood that Moses was to show the people how to live. And please understand, that's a great responsibility. I think that's the reason that James tells us not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach are will be judged more strictly. Those of us in leadership, we've got to be willing to show the way to those that we are leading. I've served as district secretary on three districts now, Alabama North and Louisiana and here in East Tennessee. I've been responsible for seven district assemblies. But I just want to go ahead and tell you, district assembly has never been my favorite part of the year. You know? But I will tell you my favorite part, and I've told you this before, I will tell you my favorite part of district assembly, and that's the ordination service. You know. And for 40 years now, as I have been in part of district assemblies, and even as I sat in the center seat at Jasper, First Church of the Nazarene in Jasper, Alabama, and Susie sitting beside me, that they read to us that day the theology of ordination for the Church of the Nazarene. It's in manual paragraph 502. I thought I'd tell you that. And two separate places in those six paragraphs that are there, these words are used. Ministers in the Church of the Nazarene must be an example. So there's a great responsibility there. But before you think that they were only talking to the pastors, that's 502. Let's go back to paragraph 500. And here's what it says, the opening sentence of our theology of ordination. The Church of the Nazarene recognizes all believers are called to minister to all people. That's you. That didn't leave a single person in this room out. The Church of the Nazarene recognizes all believers are called to minister to all people. Now, you go on down in verse 20, just a little bit more. Teach them His decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and to
behave. As I said just a few moments ago, I mean, the literal translation of this is Moses is to show them the path they are to take. And this was more than leadership that meant that Moses was simply going to follow a pillar of cloud by night or a pillar of fire by day. It means that Moses was going to show them the way that they needed to go. And that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud, it was illuminating all that was around it. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." You go on up, you go back up to verse 9 of 119. And there it says, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity?" And then he answers the question when he says, "By living according to your word." You go back down to verse 11. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against God." You see, the path that we are to take, the path that Moses was to lead them in, it's the word of God. And the first thing that Jethro says to Moses is his responsibility to teach the people the decrees. The second thing that Jethro says to Moses is, you're to show them how to live. You're to show them how to behave. And then he says, number three, he says, you're to select capable men. Verse 21, "But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." Moses said that there are people there that he needed to select that were capable. And that word select means to choose, to pick out from among the crowd. But their characteristics, did you get the characteristics? They're to fear God, they're to be trustworthy, they're to hate dishonest gain. They were selected. If you don't get anything else this morning, you get this, okay? They were selected not based on their skill. They were selected based on their character. When they had been picked, they were not they hadn't been taught anything they were to do. They had not yet even been given any responsibilities at all. But Moses looked. Moses wanted to see, did they fear God? Did they reverence God? Did they appreciate God? Did they pay attention to the word of God? You see, they were to see that their lives proved this godly character. That they were going to be men who that were faithful in their service to God. Since I've mentioned the manual several times this morning, let's go to paragraph 33. Used to be paragraph 39. Okay. "We direct our local churches to elect as church officers active members of the local church who profess the experience of entire sanctification and whose lives bear public witness to the grace of God that calls us to a holy life, who are in harmony with the doctrines, polity, and practices of the Church of the Nazarene, and who support the local church faithfully in attendance, giving active service, and with tithes and offerings. Church officers should be fully engaged in making Christ-like disciples in the nation." Oh, but pastor, that's for those that we elect. You're right. You're sharp. Now let me tell you about paragraphs 28 through 29. Okay? That's the covenant of Christian conduct that we agree to when we stand before the congregation and become members of this church. Okay? What does it say? It says that those who are part of the Church of the Nazarene, and I'm going to shorten this. This is several pages, so I'm just hitting the high points, okay? It calls for those who are part of the Church of the Nazarene to read the Word, to be discipled, to proclaim and demonstrate God's grace and love, to remember that our entire lives should be devoted to God's purposes, to serve the Lord, to carefully use media, to care for creation, to be peacemakers, to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, to avoid behaviors and practices that destroy our body and dishonor God, to reject attitudes and actions that undermine and devalue other people, and to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you something? If we do that last one, it doesn't matter about the rest of them because we're going to do that. We're not talking about rules and regulations, folks. We are talking about what we are to do as Christians. You see, the emphasis here is those who are filled with the Spirit. If you go to Acts chapter 6, there in verses 3 and 4, you find, we talked about this not long ago, the Grecian Jews and the Hellenistic Jews, they were being left out of the food distribution. And there in Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." Sounds kind of like what Jethro said, doesn't it? You see, the first thing that it says about these people who are going to serve is that they're full of the Holy Spirit. That they're full of the Holy Spirit. That they are living and abiding and doing what God's Word says. You see, when you begin to look at all of this, this is not just a pattern for the New Testament. This is a pattern that was started in Exodus chapter 18 by a guy who was not even an Israelite. But yet, he understood the principles of God. He understood all of these things that we are to do. He says, "Moses, you've got to teach them the Word of God. You've got to show them how to live and how to behave. You've got to select those people." And then this last point, you're going to be amazed. Let them serve. Y'all ought to pay me extra for that last point. That was a joke. Smile. Have them serve. Have them serve. Pick up the load. Begin to carry it. Verse 22, "Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring very difficult cases to you. The simple cases they can decide for themselves." I mean, the last thing that Jethro says is, have them serve. The heart of ministry has always been service. It's the way that we love other people. It's the way that we help other people. It's the way that we do all of these things. It's serve. And our work has always got to be for the benefit of somebody else. It is not about me. It is not about you. An old song says, "Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I might live like thee." Rick Warren, who was pastor of Saddleback Church, said that real servants serve God with a mindset of 5 great attitudes. He said real servants are self-forgetful. He said real servants think like stewards and not like owners. He said, real servants think about their own responsibilities, not what other servants are doing. Number 4, he said, real servants base their identity in Christ. And number 5, real servants think of ministry as an opportunity and not an obligation. And folks, let me remind you of something. We're going back to paragraph 500. If you're visiting with us today, I have never referred to the manual as much as I have today. Okay, so don't think this is what you get every Sunday. But I want you to understand that service is not just for those who preach and teach. Service is for all believers. We recognize all believers are called to minister to all people. A book came out about 20 years ago entitled Every Member a Minister. And every person in this room, if you call yourself a Christian, you have been set apart for ministry. There are some denominations that call what we do, we're the ministers of the church. That's not biblical. There are not 5 ministers in this church.
Every person who is sitting under the sound of my voice this morning, if you call yourself a Christian, you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been set apart and called to specific ministry. But we're all ministers. We're all here to proclaim the Word of God, to live and to go in the pathway that we should go, to be people who can be trusted and people who can know that they're doing what God has given them to do. Let me read you Ephesians chapter 4, verse. I quoted it just a moment ago, but tried to quote it a moment ago, but let me read the whole part to you. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And you go to Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through, beginning with verse 42 and going down through verse 45. Jesus calls the disciples together and he says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Listen to what he says. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom." Jethro said to Moses, "Have them serve. Have them serve." Israel was called to serve. Now, I want you to get that as well. Israel was called to serve. They were to proclaim the good news of the God who had blessed them and who had brought them out of Egypt. They were to proclaim that God to all the nations. But you know what they tried to do? They tried to hoard him. They tried to keep him all to themselves. And they failed miserably. You and I as Christians have been given the opportunity by our Lord Jesus Christ to go out of this place every time that we come in, to go out of this place into the mission field, because indeed that's what this is, that is all around us. We have been given the opportunity to go into the mission field and proclaim the good news that Jesus can save people. Now, how you do that, every person in this room is going to be different. But we are all called to serve. No one is left out. Application. Moses learned a very valuable lesson here. Let me read verses 24 through 26 of chapter 18 to you. It says, "Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves." We have a tendency at times to become overwhelmed by responsibility. And sometimes we go home exhausted. I'm not saying that to have a poor pity me party. Let me tell you, I love what I do. If I didn't, I would have quit 35 years ago. I even tried. I woke up with Susie one morning and I said, "Please understand, I am going today to find me a job." I went to the church that morning and sit right where Brad is sitting. And said, "God, if I just had some place to go, I would go." I kid you not. God is my witness. Within 5 minutes, the phone rang. And I went and answered it. And it was a district superintendent that I'd turned down twice. And Jack Stone said to me, "William, there's a church in Cushing, Oklahoma that would like to interview you They'd like to talk to you and to Susie. And he said, I'll give you time to call Susie to see what she thinks. I said, I don't have to call Susie. Nope, don't have to call her today. I said, Dr. Stone, you set it up and we will be there. Now, all my life has not happened like that, but that day it did. You see, there are times that every person who is in ministry gets burned out and gets burned. I think that's why Paul said, let us not become weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we don't give up. We have a responsibility to teach the Word of God to you. We have a responsibility to be good examples to you. We have a responsibility to lead and to do what needs to be done. But please understand, you have a responsibility as well to be servants of God in this local community. And sometimes, you're going to love this, sometimes leaders need to be delivered from leadership. Amen. You know? Moses had to be delivered from this do-it-myself mentality. And he served a God who delivered. He served a God who brought to him someone who gave him wisdom and understanding in order that Moses could do all the things that God had commanded him to, not just one particular area. And that's where we all need to step up to service. That's where it's our responsibility to train you. We serve a God who will deliver you from a lack of service. And a God who will deliver us from doing too much. When you really would get more of a blessing if you were serving than just sitting. I said it in my first church, so you are not the first group to hear this. You can't sit in the pew and please Jesus. We serve a God who delivers. But we also serve a God who will empower and who will equip and who will do everything that needs to be done so that God's people can participate in ministry. Sometimes the work is too heavy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to look into your word. It is the guidebook for our lives. It's not just an old book that means nothing. It is the guidebook by which we live. And I pray for the pastoral staff of this church that we indeed would be people who teach the word, who are examples of the word, who allow other people to serve because that's what the Word says. So, Lord, we're grateful for all this that Jethro told Moses. We go over to the New Testament. We see it happening over and over again in the book of Acts. And then you go to Ephesians. You look and you see all those places that it's mentioned. Oh, God, make us willing servants. From the pastor, the staff, the membership, make us willing servants because Jesus is our example. We thank you, we love you, we praise you for this time that we've had together to look into your word. And I ask you, Father, today that you would move on our hearts and lives. And Lord, I believe today that there are people here that you are moving in their hearts and you want to do something for them in relation to their service to you. And so, Lord, may you deliver them from the fear. May you deliver them from anything that would hinder them from following hard after you. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise for what your word tells us. May we do it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. I appreciate you being here this morning. No one else tells you. Jack's already told you, so I know somebody has. If no one else tells you, I love you. I really do. Have a great day.